What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Other Side of the Firewall podcast, where we talk about the latest and greatest of cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, those people of color made to the other side of the proverbial firewall. My name is Ryan Williams. As always, I'm joined by Shannon Tynes.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? And Daniel Acevedo.
Let's go, guys.
There it is. So Chris is on vacation still, so he'll be back a lot happier, a lot more relaxed when he gets back. But definitely continue to tune in throughout the week. So Monday and Tuesday are our topics. They're very much happening in real time. There's a bunch of moving pieces, so definitely tune in for those. Wednesday discussion, I think it's a pretty good one. I was kind of debating about if I was going to do it or not, just because of the severity of the outcome, right? I was trying to be sensitive to that, so definitely tune in for that episode. I think we'll do a pretty good job on that one. And then Thursday, Ask a CISSP, Ask a CISSP, because the transcript's going to kill me. That episode will be with Chelsea Pierre from Pierre's Tech Heads. It's her new initiative. We did not air it last week because of scheduling, so it'll come out this week. And then Friday, everything else, so movies, books, games, all that good stuff. So if you want to find out how we feel about some of the shows and things that have come out recently, definitely tune in for that. I have a pretty hot take on Civil War you might want to check out. But without further ado, I give it to Shannon.
All right, everybody. This article is from Reuters.com, written by Kane Wu and Julie Zhu. It's titled, Exclusive, ByteDance Prefers TikTok Shutdown in U.S. If Legal Options Fail, sources say. So we kind of alluded to this before this all went down, right, and became official, that TikTok was like, nah, we're not going to go the way you guys want us to, right? But ByteDance has come out and said, hey, we prefer to shut down, right, than do the divestiture or have an American company own TikTok. And so the reason for this, and when I read this article and when you sent it out, I was like, I didn't realize that they are losing money on TikTok, because you hear about TikTok everywhere. And my assumption was TikTok was everywhere, but that's not necessarily the case. Like in different countries, you know, different names for them, I don't want to say software, but it's still the same background. They're still using the same type of algorithms and stuff like that, but it's not TikTok, right? It's something different, and it's handled a little bit differently how they do things. But they're going to fight this legislation because the president went out there and was like, yeah, we understand you guys need to divest or become American-owned if you're going to be sold in the United States. And they were like, we're not going to do it. So this kind of brings up the point, well, like, if you were losing money on this, right, What was the reason for you doing that? Who operates a business this way? Where if you're losing money, you still put something out there just constantly. You got to be getting something from it. There is some type of worth. And I think Daniel, you're gonna lead into this on, you know, what you think the worth is and what they're actually getting out of this, because businesses don't keep things going just to lose money. You know what I'm saying? But ByteDance is like, no, we're going to shut it down. And it's because of the algorithm they have. The algorithm they have is not just used on TikTok. It's used on, you know, this version of TikTok in China or wherever. And that's the real piece that they're holding on to that they don't want to put out there in American hands. So Daniel, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, man, there's a lot to unpack in this article and just in this topic in general. I mean, not to get too far into the weeds and go down like a YouTube rabbit hole. The face of all this social media platforms and things like that, we can look at companies even like Twitter that famously, what's his name, bought?
Elon
bought it. Even when Elon took that over, it's like he discovered in their ledger, they're bleeding. They're losing a lot of money. And, you know, there's a good podcast called Fake English that talks about this, you know, the landscape of social media, you know, how all these companies are like bleeding money, right? And the thought before was, hey, we want to get viewership. We want to get the mass public to get behind our platform, behind our social media experience, behind whatever it is. You know, you see it in like streaming services. The idea before was like, let me just get everybody I can. I don't care if I'm losing or gaining money, but I have the totality of everybody under my product. I think we're going to see that landscape change over the next 5 to 10 years where paid services for social media experiences and all that kind of stuff is going to play in. But getting to this article in specific, right, you know, ByteDance's Twitter is called Dojin, you know, forgive me if I'm killing that name, but, you know, there was a really big 60 Minutes article that came out 2 years that talks about how their version of TikTok is so different than ours. You know, you can't have TikTok over there if you're under 14, and if you do, it's only 40 minutes a day. And the videos that are being given to the kids are things on like science experiments they can do at home, learning experiences, and things of that nature. And I'm probably killing the article. Go and check that out. You know, the thought of like what's being shown over there and what's being shown over here in the US, that information's been out there for several years, right? As a larger thing, though, man, I can't get behind like the Twitters or the TikToks of the world. I feel like it's killing our kids' brains. You know, I've got a young daughter. She's not even 4 yet. And I feel like this is a good first step, but I would like to see the government pass legislation. You know, how are we monitoring these effects on kids? Like all the, there is lots of studies coming out on like behavioral analogies of like how this affects the brains, not only in the younger generation, but even adults, like how our attention spans have gotten shorter and shorter and shorter through the years. And there's a direct correlation to these apps and our attention spans. So this is a cool first step, but I want to see the government, or I want to see just like a social consciousness in the United States around that, right? All the information is black and white. And I feel like our generations that are coming up now have much harder time to deal with just with this in their life than we had to, at least when we grew up. You know, this wasn't around. So no matter what, our parents would drop us off, it's like, all right, figure it out. Or we just go out. We didn't have these things. So we just figure out how to like engage in society, just be present in the moment, enjoy life. There's so much noise now that it's hard for people to focus on what's really important, how to help yourself, how to help the community, and how to help each other. So you look at it from an intelligence standpoint, you know, what the government says and what China says, what Biden says, you know, can all be noise. No matter what, all these social platforms have all the data, no matter what, whether it's American-owned or nation-state-owned. I think the big worrisome part in the United States is that, you know, if this is a social experiment that China's doing right now, what better social experiment than like, hey, let's give this type of information push to the United States to kind of like brainwash or have a narrative to raise these generations in this age frame. Let's push a different narrative and information to our own nation state. And let's see how that changes the landscapes. So I think that's the big, it's not about the data itself. All these, you know, Instagram, Facebook, they have all our data too. You know, what those companies do with it and how that ties into the government, if it does or doesn't, is one thing. But it's what's China's narrative for the 5-year plans and how this ties into it as a tool that's being used, essentially. But those are my I was all over the place, but there's a lot to unpack here. What do you think, Ryan?
No, I don't disagree with anything both you and Shannon said. Before I move on, so please like, share, subscribe. We're trying to get up to 500 subs. We're almost at 400, so we're getting there. We're climbing up the chart, so to speak, and we're trying to hit that 500 subs. I'm hoping by May, June timeframe. So it's looking like May, hopefully we get some more in, but June, I want to have it solidified because hopefully by the end of the year, we hit 1,000 is the goal. Again, people are watching the shorts and they're watching the videos, so we greatly appreciate it. Check out all the articles we're putting on LinkedIn and Medium, as well as all the other social media platforms that go by our names, either the other side of the firewall, the other side of the FW, or Ask a CISSP. With that out of the way, so I would like look at it from the national strategic side of the house, right? Like, so people are trying to say that we're being paranoid, especially my kids are saying that we're being paranoid and China's not trying to take us over, things of that nature, right? Because they're optimistic. They're optimistic. But like China has a 100-year plan, right? Like they plan to overtake and become the world's greatest superpower within the next 100 years. They don't necessarily care about a generation. They care about several generations. They're in that respect, they're light years ahead of the US, because we care about right now. We care about ourselves. We're very like, capitalism is the American dream is about you. and you know what I mean, and then maybe some nepotism after the fact. But in China, it's more about like, how do we become the world's greatest power? And that is they're using several different platforms, this being one, right? But also, it's the ability to organize and to create that flash mob type situation. Like it's been shared with us by the Department of Justice and the NSA that foreign entities were in all of our major unrest and the political landscape. So it's literally being used as a tool to infiltrate because they can't shoot an ICBM, they can't land a plane on an airfield or a ship at a port, because the U.S. is sovereign in that respect. But how do you get in? You get in through the internet, and they're doing so. So that's just the stuff they've been sharing. Like, what have they not been sharing? Like, what is China currently doing to it? So I think the tell in this poker game, so to speak, is that they will allow it to fail, because they are, like, if they divest and they give it to a U.S. company, not only will they lose that power, but what trade secrets would be lost as well. Like, once it's in U.S. hands, like the Chinese government, the U.S. government has the ability to pull somebody in and say, hey, share this information with us or else. So whomever the would-be purchaser of it is going to be pro-U.S. They're not going to allow anybody else to purchase it from the outside. And that's because they can drag them to Congress and behind closed doors say, hey, share with us what this tool is being used to do, or what it was being used to do in the past. So they can't allow that to happen. So I think that's, like, if they were about the profit and it wasn't collecting data or sharing data, they would flip it over in a heartbeat, because then they would be like, we're going to be the major shareholder of this company and we're going to absorb all this money. But no, they care about the apparatus, and they're going to lose that ability to siphon that information and to use it against us, which they've already started to do. So I believe the brain rot thing is true, but all the social media platforms are doing it. So when TikTok speeds up their videos, it makes them shorter. So does Meta and so on and so forth. Right. So they just want to be, like, again, a U.S. company only cares about making profit and their shareholders. So, like, yeah, this foreign entity might be making a product that's bad for our kids. We need to be better than that. We need to make the kids worse so we get that money. So that influence, I think it won't change. Like, they're going to become, like, because these companies are sucking up other companies because they're better at brain rot. So, like, TikTok was Musical.ly and the Chinese company merged together. So I don't know if you know what Musical.ly was. Like, my daughter had it when she was younger. It was a short form video content.
Like Vine?
It was just like TikTok. Like Vine. It was like Vine and TikTok kind of mixed together, and it focused on music. And TikTok absorbed that, and then they became, or the other company absorbed that and became TikTok. And then I believe someone bought Vine. Who was that? Was that Meta or was that?
I think it's Meta, or was it another company?
Meta absorbed it. Absorbed Vine because of the short form videos, right? Like, they figured out that people's attention spans are shorter than ever. If you make it even shorter, you can squeeze in more stuff. And now streaming companies are doing the same thing. Like, tracks are shorter than they've ever been. An album is like a quarter of the length of what it used to be. And they're like, oh, it's because people's attention spans are shorter. It's like, no, it's because you monetize people's attention spans. And you figured out that I can get it to you quicker. I can hit you with that dopamine hit. You will then pay me for it. And then I can make further profit, right? I can squeeze more records into the radio than they ever have been before. So the music companies love it because the track is now like a minute and 30 seconds, when it used to be like, Quiet Storm was like a 13 minute song. We the Best, DJ Khaled, that's like a 40 minute song. He's got everybody on that thing. But now, if you were to redo it now, it would be like 30 seconds. It'd just be a hook and a beat, and then they keep moving. And it's not because they're like, oh, our attention spans are getting shorter. It's because, no, they figured out that we can shorten their attention spans to squeeze more money out of them, to give them content quicker. So I don't want American companies to get away with anything, not just China. But in this case, China is able to weaponize TikTok, and they have already. And that's just a little bit that's been shared with us. Like, what is in the classified documents that may be in Mar-a-Lago, like, chilling in the closet somewhere, that say that, like, basically, like, no, they've used this in the George Floyd situation. They used this in the whatever riot situation that we had going on, where we had people who were protesting the right way, and then these foreign entities were able to make things turn up to 11, right? And then we'll talk about that in the Wednesday situation as well. Like, they're weaponizing all these platforms.
So I just think, go ahead. I didn't prep you guys for this, but, like, I think it kind of speaks larger to where we're at as a society. The trust in the government is probably at an all-time low, right? Yeah. You know, there's so much articles and information out there. You got to become your own investigation journalist. Looking at the sources, who's actually putting the information out there? Is this a credible source, somebody that's actually putting something out just to get clickbait? Or is it someone that's actually done their research and is giving out good information that nobody knows what to like expect or what to think, like what's real and what isn't real. Like obviously media is pushing the narrative, right? Trying to get viewership as well. So you know, you get articles like this, the general populace doesn't know what to do with it. I mean, is it real? Is the government overreaching? Are they just blowing smoke? It's really difficult, you know, you to like weed through everything to know what's real or not.
That's true. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was like, that's true.
You hit exactly what I was going to hit. Because like I've had this conversation with friends and people at work even. Like when it comes to, I feel a little bit differently when it comes to the political interference and things like that. No one is in that booth pushing that button when it comes to who you vote for. Why do you choose not to take in as much information as you need to take in? Don't get all of your news from TikTok or Facebook. Like there are so many options. Like you went right to where I was going to go to, but I feel a little bit differently. I can't, as much as we want to blame Russia for interference with election interference, like nobody from Russia, it's not like they were holding a gun to our head and we went in there and pressed, we want this candidate. You know what I mean? Like we took it upon ourselves to not do as much research as we need to. You know what I'm saying? Ryan, like all day now, I'm going to be thinking of Quiet Storm. I'm going to be like, all day now, because you brought it up. This is going to be in my head. But no, like that's exactly where I was going
to go. To Ryan's point, right? Like they can't land a plane. They can't land a ship in our country. I think kinetic warfare is going to change. Like we're at the precipice of it. I mean, you look at the wars going on right now, drone strikes, like Ukraine, like what's going on in Gaza. It's a crazy situation. This landscape, the cyber landscape, you know, it is the next frontier for like really, really ugly warfare. We'll touch on it on Wednesday, like distress, disruption, confusion, chaos. You know, we need to arm ourselves as a community to understand how to better protect our home environments, our networks, and then the understanding of what information actually does, right? So it's a slippery slope. We're at the forefront. So like, share, subscribe, get all the good, you know, thoughts of people like us that are in the industry, kind of what our takes are on it. But we, you know, we're just like everybody else. We're just trying to take information that's out there, analyze it in a correct way, and give you guys the tools to better yourselves and the people in your lives. So that's all I got for now. What do you think, Ryan?
No, I completely agree. So we'll see what the future holds. I called it. I said they were not going to divest, and I don't believe they will.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll also win any legal battles. Because there's a lot of, like, when something, like, again, like, not to go the conspiracy route, but when something is agreed upon by both parties, like, the Trump administration was like, this needs to be divested, and the Biden administration is like, I will sign that if it gets up here. There's something behind it. Right. So they shared a little bit with us. I'm sure there's a ton they have not shared with us. And I'm not excusing the Zuckerbergs or the Elons, because they are also using our data for nefarious reasons, but they're within arm's reach. So just think about that, Rob. But yeah, definitely continue to tune in, like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Please get us to 500 in a short order. So if you already are a subscriber, share it with your friends. Get them to subscribe as well. Hit up all the websites that go by our name. You'll be on the other side of the firewall, the other side of the FW, or ask a CISSP. And then read all the articles and all the things. And we appreciate your patronage, so to speak. So stay safe. Stay secure.